There's an interesting story that I found that would be another good illustration for the message today, that the story about a man that was touched by God, and God gave him a priceless gift, and the gift was the capacity for great, great love. He was grateful and humble, and he knew just what an extraordinary thing that he had been given, that had happened to him. And so he carried this gift like a precious jewel, like a treasure, everywhere he went, walking tall and with purpose. And from time to time, he would show that gift to others. And they would smile and see that treasure, that precious jewel. But it seemed like they wanted to touch it, you know. And he noticed that they'd kind of mar it up, dirty it up. And he thought, well, that's not the way to treat such a precious thing. So he built a box. Sounds like Dennis, right? Built a box to hold this precious treasure, this jewel. And then in the box, he would only show it to those who he thought would treat it with respect and would meet it, you know, with the kind of reverence that it deserved and a love of their own. That didn't work very well. Matter of fact, some even hearing about the treasure tried to break into his box. So he built a bigger, stronger one. One that no one could get into except him. And the man felt good. At last, he was protecting that treasure, that jewel that was given to him. On rare occasions, when he had thought someone earned a right to see it, then he would unlock the box and show it. But he noticed that as time went on, even they sometimes refused or smudged or glanced at it like they were disinterested. So much time went by. Much time, and only in great, great occasion would the man pat his box and say, I have the loveliest of jewels in here, the greatest treasures. Once or twice then, in the rest of his life, he opened the box and offered it and said, look and see, I want you to. And the person that he would show it to looked at him with disgust and walked away. Then the man died. And he gets up into heaven and he's face to face with God and he says, God, you gave me a precious gift many, many years ago. And see, I've kept it safe here in this box to keep it as lovely as the day that you gave it to me. And then he opened the box to show it to God. And he and God looked into the box and found not a ruby, not a jewel, not a priceless treasure, but an ugly snake that slithered out and out of heaven and into hell. For you see, the moral of that story is the same moral that Jesus was getting at when he told the parable of the talents, which you remember, a very familiar tale when Jesus had said that he was giving these gifts to these three men. And to one, those 10 talents, to another, the 5 talents, and another, the 1. And as Jesus told the story, you remember what happened. The guy with 10 went out and he used those talents and he multiplied them. And the guy with 5, the same. But the one with 1, he hid that talent. And then on the day that the master returned, he praised the one who had taken the 10 and multiplied it. Praised the one who had taken the 5 and multiplied it. But to the one that hid that talent, what did he do, church? He criticized, didn't he? And you know, I've told that parable countless times in the 31 years of ministry. And I've never once related that parable to, well, I think one of the main reasons that Jesus told it was in the gift of love that we are given. and that we're given the capacity to also give back. You know, when God says in His Word that He creates us in His image and His likeness, it sure doesn't mean that we look like Him in physical form, does it? Right? But what does it mean when the Bible says that God created us in His image and in His likeness? You know that I believe the greatest thing that God gave us in crafting us in His image and His likeness was to be able to love like Him, that capacity. And you think about it, there's nothing else in all of creation that has the capacity to love like human beings do. Oh, our animals love us, sometimes unconditionally too, which is wonderful. But even they don't have the depth of capacity to love like we love. I said capacity. It's not that they sometimes don't outdo us in showing of unconditional love. But we have so much greater capacity to love than anything else in all of creation. That's the gift that God has given us, the treasure beyond all other treasures, the capacity to love. But you know, some people never really do come to unlock the depths of that potential, because some people have felt the pain, like the video was talking about, of brokenheartedness because of a love lost, right? Who was it, Tennyson, that said, "It is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all," right? Do you believe that? I do too. I had a chance to visit Homewood, Martinsburg Homewood, this week, and I had a new person to see back in the Countryside Unit, which is their dementia unit at Homewood. It's a lockdown unit. And God had already put this message in my heart, and you know how wonderful He is to give us illustrations. So as I got there the other day, I had to get the new code they put in the door. Their inspectors came in, and so they changed the codes. And so after I did and entered, it was just perfect timing because a man walked in with me, knowing he was standing waiting to get in as well, and an older man. I would guess, just roughly guessing, late 80s, early 90s, he looked to be. But he had a little pep in his step, and I noticed it right away for an older guy. And he happened to be going exactly the same direction that I was. And the room that he entered was right before the room that I was to enter. And so I watched. I was able to watch because actually a nurse was with my person that I was going to see. And the man actually asked the aide if she could help him get his wife into the wheelchair, which they did. And then he wheeled her. There's one section, if you've ever been there, that's kind of a private little nook, and there's a love seat, and then there's a TV right there. Just a little nook in the hallway that kind of becomes a little private area. And I watched as he wheeled his wife to that nook and again asked the aide to help him lift his wife out of the wheelchair and into the love seat. And then what I saw is what really just touched my heart and honestly brought a tear to my eye. When, after being placed in the love seat, the man then snuggled in beside his wife and put his arm around her and pulled her head into his chest and just smiled, the biggest smile at her. Now, she did not respond. Indeed, probably wasn't able to. But that didn't stop him. And you know, even after my visit, walking out, they were still there. Still there, and that smile was still on his face. And I thought about the power of unconditional love, huh? The deep, deep love that humans are capable of. You know, love at first sight is kind of easy to understand, but a love that grows deeper, you know? A love that grows so strong that it does become, you know, or really close to becoming that kind of depth of love, of unconditional love of God has for us. That's what I witnessed. That man was really not able to hear back from his wife, you know, those words that we long to hear, I love you. But at that point, it didn't even seem to matter to him. That's a depth of love. And that's what I mean by unconditional love. Unconditional love gives even if you don't get back. And that's God's kind of love, isn't it? It really is. Jesus, when he walked into his hometown synagogue, as we had read before, and he unrolled that scroll that was handed to him from the prophet Isaiah to the 61st chapter. And if you remember, he stood up and he said that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news, to proclaim sight for the blind, right? Healing for the brokenhearted, released for the oppressed. And he rolled that back up, handed it, and said, I tell you the truth, today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. This is what Jesus came to do. God understood in giving us the capacity to love that it also meant that we have the capacity to hurt, to become brokenhearted. And Jesus came to heal that kind of heart. You know, when we read also in Isaiah, that powerful passage of the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53, you know, the one that says, and by his stripes we are healed, that familiar passage. I really believe that part of the healing that can come into our lives when we allow Jesus in and that unconditional love is the healing of broken hearts, the healing of hurts, the healing that, well, is so needed in our life, because the truth is we are all broken. We are. We are all broken in that we've all experienced difficulty, struggle, sometimes deep tragedy, and loss. And as a result of it, we carry within us the scars from those wounds, don't we? And we need a God who can meet us right where we're at and begin to heal that brokenness, which is what I believe he wants to do in our lives. We see the result of hurting in our world today, don't we? We really do. People that have not understood the power of God's love and the principle behind it that says we love because he first loved us. And as a result of it, those wounded people, wounded like us, but without the help of God's love, taking that hurt inside and venting it on others, which is what we're seeing today, isn't it? All around us, in this world of ours, in this country of ours, just spewing forth. Where does it come from? From the brokenness, from the hurts. It really does. We know what they need. Same thing we need. We need God's unconditional love. Amen? There was a teacher, Tom, I was thinking of you when I found this illustration, and it was actually, though, in a Christian school, a private Christian school, and this teacher, a smart lady, She was known for her powerful and elaborate object lessons. Again, I was thinking of Dennis. So one day when her students came into class, she saw a big target, you know, bullseye target, that was hanging on the wall in a big big corkboard. And there was a ton of darts that she had brought in on a nearby table. And so the teacher told the students that she wanted them to draw a picture of someone they disliked or someone that made them angry. And that she was going to allow them to throw the darts at that person's picture. So one girl draws a picture of the girl who had stolen her boyfriend, right? Another student drew a picture of his little brother. We can relate to that sometimes. Still another drew a picture of the teacher himself in great detail. And one by one, you know, they drew someone that angered them, hurt them. And then what the teacher did next was fascinating. She, one by one, would take the picture and hang it over the bullseye. And then the person who drew the picture would actually kill a stink bug and would actually take and start the throwing of darts. And then each child was able to also follow suit to that picture and then their own. And so one by one, the picture of the person that the child disliked or was angered at was placed upon it. And one by one, and I mean, some of the kids, it said, were just hurling those darts to the point where the pictures were really becoming torn, you know, as they would throw all these darts. And then when they were all done, she had the class sit down, and then she took the pictures off of that dartboard, one by one, and then revealed the final bullseye, the paper bullseye, that had been placed over the corkboard. But what she did next brought silence to the room. When she peeled the actual target bullseye off of the corkboard, underneath it was a picture of Jesus. But that picture was almost unrecognizable. With all the holes and tears, the eyes poked out and tattered as a result of all those darts. And that smart teacher taught that day what Jesus really took upon himself on the cross. When he took the sins of the whole world and the anger and the pain of each one. You know, we'll never know. We understand. I've told the story so many times of how the agony of crucifixion was the worst way to die. But we'll never understand this part. The part where the scripture says that the sins of the world was placed upon him. And it became so gruesome that the Father himself looked away. And for the first time in his life, Jesus felt the separation. And you remember the words, "What, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When the sins of the world were placed upon him. We love because he first loved us. But you know, the truth is that if we don't allow God's love into our hearts, or just a little, we'll never really experience then that full capacity to love back, especially unconditionally. What we'll be is we'll be a typical person that guards himself or herself, right? Isn't that what we do? Guards. Because we don't want to feel that hurt again. We don't want to feel that pain again. And with nothing to help us, we go through life that way. The Bible says this, that Christ on the cross reconciled us with the Father. That word is powerful. And in that original Greek word comes so many strong, powerful images and word pictures, because it has to do with making restitution. You know what that means, right? Restitution, making right. We understand that what was needed to make us right with God was a price being paid, right? Again, we'll never understand the fullness of that price, but we need to try. We need to think about it. We need to contemplate it to the point where we begin to feel the power that love must have had to enable him to do what he did. See, Wednesday night in our Bible studies, we talk about, you know, Jesus as our model. It's been our theme, what, for years, becoming more like Christ. And as we get to this point of being able to understand unconditional love, and we got to look at Christ, and we got to understand really what he went through to pay for our part. Because as we do, what happens? That truth, that principle from Scripture that says we love because he first loved us, it begins to register. It begins to do its work in our heart. It begins to unlock chambers in our heart that we may have locked up forever, it seems. It begins to heal brokenness that nothing else can heal. It begins to make us whole again. And then it begins to release in us that powerful capacity to love like he loves. To love even the unlovely, huh? It was a Peanuts comic strip I found, too. It was kind of interesting. Remember Schroeder? Yeah? Do you remember who was in love with Schroeder? Lucy. That's right. Yes. So in this particular strip, Lucy comes to him and says, "Guess what? If you don't tell me you love me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold my breath until I pass out." So looking up from his piano, Schroeder says, you know, in that tone that he always uses, "Breath holding in children is an interesting phenomenon. It could indicate a metabolic disorder. A 40 milligram dose of vitamin C twice a day might be helpful. I think that's probably it. You need vitamin C. You might also consider eating more bananas, avocados, and beef liver." And as he goes back to his piano, Lucy sighs, and the balloon above her head says, "I ask for love, and all I get is beef liver." Well, you know, we've been there, right? We understand, you know, the humor and the truth behind that cartoon. We understand it because we understand that we all have a need to be unconditionally loved. We all have a need for unconditional love. There was a woman watching another man with Alzheimer's at the airport, trying to keep his wife calm, and after a while, she would just get up when he was. She would just get up and start walking down the corridor at the airport, and he would have to quickly go and get her. And sometimes she was pretty verbal about, "No, let me go. Who are you?" And as they were waiting there at the gate, the man noticed the young woman with a nice suit on with her computer, you know. And every time the woman would get up and the man would go after her, he noticed that she would shut her computer and stare at them. So after the third time, the older man taking care of his wife with Alzheimer's was gracious enough to go over to the man and say, "I'm sorry, I know we're disturbing you, but my wife has Alzheimer's and we just can't help this." And the young woman in the business suit with the computer looks up at the older man and says, "I'm not stopping because I'm bothered. I'm stopping because I'm thinking to myself, will I ever be loved that deeply by someone else?" You see, that's what we want. We want that kind of deep, deep love. It's in us. You've heard it said so many times before that everyone has that God-sized hole in their heart that only He can fill. Well, that God-sized hole is a hole for unconditional love. And until we allow it to do its work, we're never going to reach the capacity that God made us with, that He gave to us. But when we do, we begin to unlock a potential that is unstoppable for changing the world. For changing the world. On a cold winter's day, a 10-year-old boy was standing, it says, barefoot in front of a shoe store, looking at the window, shivering in cold. And a lady approached the boy and asked him what he was doing. He says, "I'm asking God to give me a pair of shoes." So the lady took him by the hand, went into the store, and asked the clerk to get a half dozen pair of socks for the boy. She then asked if she could have a basin of water and a towel, and the man brought them to her, and she took him back to the back of the store, washed his little feet, dried them with a towel, and then the clerk returned with the socks, which she placed one pair on the boy and tied the other pair up and gave them to him. Patted them on the head as she said, "Now, I bet you're feeling more comfortable. Now let's get you a good pair of shoes." And after tying these new shoes, she turned to go. And astonished, the little boy caught her by the hand and, looking up at her face with tears in his eyes, just simply asked the question, "Are you God's wife? Are you God's wife?" You know, the truth is that we're never more like God than when we give of ourselves. But you and I know that you can only give out of what you have, right? And so God, knowing this, He wants to fill us up to overflowing with that kind of love, that it is possible to give it away. We don't want to be the guy that puts the treasure in the box, right? We want to be the one whom Jesus looks at and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick," right? We want to be that guy, that girl. We can. We can, through the receipt of God's unconditional love, to heal our broken mess, to really heal all our brokenness and soothe the scars and fill us to overflowing. And that's what He wants us to do, isn't it? Overflow. It's what this world needs, huh? It was true when that song was first written, "What the world needs now," right? It's true. Jesus said, what? "They'll know you are Christians by your love." So why is it not happening? It's because so many Christians haven't allowed God to minister this to them, to allow them into the deep crevices in their hearts, to fill them with unconditional love, to the point where they're able to love again, right? To flow. Let's be that person. Let's let God heal our brokenness. Amen? As we stand to worship, as we close today, let's just take the time as we worship to experience God's love anew and afresh and ask Him, if you will, ask Him to flood over you, to heal and to fill anew, to reveal to you the power of unconditional love that He has for you.